Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Our mission today, well, it's laser focused on probably the single most persistent threat entry point out there, phishing. It's an old tactic, sure, but it's evolving faster than ever. We are diving deep into a stack of source materials today that honestly, they paint a really comprehensive picture. We're blending technical defenses with that absolutely crucial staff training piece. The goal here, simple. Help you move beyond just blocking spam to building real organizational resilience. Because let's face it, your tech is probably great, but that human element, that's still the main way in.
It really is. And that vulnerability, it's not just theoretical. It's costing companies, well, billions. What's kind of stunning here is just the sheer scale. I mean, the prevalence. We've got data from UK government surveys showing an incredible 85% of businesses there recorded a phishing attack just in the past year. It is hands down the most common and frankly disruptive type of breach they're seeing.
85%. Wow. That's nearly everyone. And we're not just talking about, you know, minor annoyances, right? These are huge financial hits.
Exactly. Huge. You just have to look at that that big MGM Resorts incident in 2023. That breach, which cost them somewhere around $100 million. It apparently started with a social engineering attack. And get this, it wasn't even email, it was a phishing phone call. One slip up, one person tricked, and boom, big price tag.
Okay, that really sets the stage. So let's unpack this properly. We need to go beyond just telling people don't click bad links. We have to understand how the attackers are changing their game, and then crucially, how to deploy those three critical layers of defense to actually stop them before they cause damage.
Absolutely, because the threat landscape, it's always shifting. If your training is based on last year's tricks, you're already falling behind.
Right, let's start there then. If the really obvious badly spelled phishing email is maybe not dead, but less common, what's replacing it? Phishing is still, at its core, social engineering, yeah? Pretending to be someone trusted to steal info.
That's the core, yes. But while email is still, you know, the main vehicle, the definition is definitely broadened out. The sources we looked at really stress that attackers are using basically every channel they can. So messaging apps, social media DMs, collaboration tools like Slack or Teams, and like we saw with MGM, voice calls, phishing. They're just looking for the path of least resistance to trick someone.
And that multi-channel approach leads right into the sophistication issue, doesn't it? The sources point out that attacks now are way more targeted. Think spear phishing specific people. They're often using AI to get the language just right, make it sound completely legitimate. And they're doing this at scale. It makes them so much harder to spot than those old clunky scams.
That targeting is absolutely key. And if you want to defend against it, you need to know the different masks they wear, so to speak. We pull out five main types of phishing that pop up a lot in business environments, things everyone should really be aware of.
Yeah, I think knowing these specific types is super helpful for everyone listening. So first up, the one we hear about most, spear phishing.
Right. This is tailored. It's not generic. It's aimed at a particular person, maybe a specific team. Often uses details scraped from, say, LinkedIn, you know, mentions a project you just finished or a colleague you both know, makes it instantly seem more real.
Okay, and then there's whaling. Sounds like a bigger version.
Exactly. It's spear phishing, but aimed specifically at the big fish, senior executives, CEOs, CFOs. The goal is usually impersonating someone high up, maybe the CEO, to get a quick wire transfer approved or demanding access to super sensitive company data.
That must pose a unique training challenge too, right? How do you get very senior people used to giving orders to actually pause and verify?
That's a fantastic point. It often needs more than just training. It needs a clear policy shift from the top down. Verification has to be okay, even encouraged.
Good point. Okay, moving away from email. Voice phishing or vishing. You mentioned MGM.
Yes, vishing. Phone-based deception. The attacker might call pretending to be from IT support, maybe your bank or even a supplier. They're trying to coax login details out of you directly, or sometimes get you to install remote access software. Critically, it bypasses all your email filters.
Completely different channel. And its cousin, smishing.
Smishing, yeah. That's phishing via SMS, text messages, or other messaging apps like WhatsApp. Often uses urgent sounding alerts, maybe a fake package delivery notice, a warning about your bank account, or even fake two-factor codes. They prey on that immediacy we feel with text messages.
Right, that sense of urgency. And the last one, this one sounds sneaky. Clone phishing.
Oh, it is sneaky. Clone phishing is where they take a real legitimate email that was sent previously, maybe an update from HR or a project memo. They copy it, then swap out the real link or attachment for a malicious one. Then they resend it, maybe making it look like a correction or a follow-up. Since you recognize the original email, you trust the update.
Wow, that uses existing trust. That's got to be incredibly hard to spot. Okay, so when these sophisticated attacks, maybe AI run in, maybe clones get past the filters, it all comes down to the person, the human. How do we actually train that human firewall effectively against these kinds of threats?
Well, it really starts with detection. If something slips through the net, the employee has got to be equipped to spot the danger signs before clicking. And the first, and arguably still the most critical red flag, is the suspicious URL. Training absolutely has to hammer home the need to hover over links, before clicking. See where it really goes. Look for those mismatched domains or tiny misspellings designed to trick the eye, like Microsoft with two T's instead of Microsoft.
Right, the hover is key. And second, the psychological trick.
Exactly. The classic urgency and story play. If the email uses threatening language, your account access will be revoked immediately, or sounds overly demanding, that's a huge red flag. It's designed purely to make you panic and act without thinking. If it feels urgent or scary, that's precisely when you need to stop and take a breath.
Okay, and this next one feels like a major shift based on what you said about AI.
It is. It's about errors versus AI.
Yeah.
For years, the advice was look for bad spelling and grammar. Well, the sources are clear. That advice is basically obsolete now. Modern AI-driven phishing messages. They can be grammatically perfect, they can mimic the company's tone flawlessly. So you just can't rely on finding typos anymore as proof something is fake.
That really changes things, doesn't it? If perfect grammar isn't a safety signal, what's the best indicator then? Does it push everything towards checking URLs and the context of the message?
It absolutely pushes the focus away from just language analysis and more towards process and context. It means really doubling down on that final red flag, unexpected communications, an attachment you weren't expecting, a request for a wire transfer that's outside the normal process, a sudden demand to reset your password. That kind of unexpectedness is your biggest clue, no matter how well written the message is.
Okay, so spotting red flags requires constant vigilance. But as the materials really highlight, just being vigilant isn't enough, right? We need actual prevention, which brings us to the three pillars of prevention.
That's right. You need a structured, multi-layered defense. It can't just be one thing.
Okay, pillar one seems focused on the user, personal habits that stop phishing at the source. This feels like building good reflexes. So, number one, always think before you click. We mentioned hovering over URLs, checking subdomains, and maybe, if it's asking you to log in somewhere, just navigate to the known website yourself instead of using the link in the email.
Absolutely. That's a great habit. And number two, verify the sender. Don't just glance at the display name that's incredibly easy to fake. You have to look at the actual underlying email address. Does it really match your organization's domain if it claims to be internal? Or does it look weird?
Check the full address, not just the name. Got it. And number three, to counter that urgency tactic, pause and escalate. Meaning, if it feels rushed or threatening, just stop, slow down. And then raise the concern through a known safe channel, like walk over to IT or call the supposed sender on a number you already have.
Definitely don't just reply to the suspicious email itself.
Precisely. Break the chain of urgency. Okay, moving to pillar two, essential digital hygiene practices. This is where we use technology to back up those good habits, providing kind of a safety net if credentials do get compromised. And the absolute number one thing here, non-negotiable really, is multi-factor authentication, MFA. Enable it everywhere you possibly can. It's the single biggest hurdle for an attacker, even if they manage to steal a password.
Right, MFA is critical. But why do we still see places where it's not fully rolled out? Is it just hard to implement on older systems, or is it more about policy?
It's often a mix. Older systems, yeah, they can be tricky. Sometimes it's seen as inconvenient. But honestly, the implementation challenges or the perceived inconvenience, they pale in comparison to the cost of a breach. It has to be a priority organization-wide. And related to that, of course, is needing strong, unique passwords. This means using password managers, not reusing passwords, especially between work and personal accounts. Basic hygiene, but crucial, also under hygiene, keeping everything updated. Regular software updates. Phishing attacks often drop malware that exploits known bugs in outdated software, so patching systems closes those doors. And finally, don't overlook the built-in tools. Properly configure anti-phishing features in platforms like Microsoft 365 or Google Workspace. They have smart scanning, warning banners. Use them. Excellent. Okay, that covers personal habits and digital hygiene. Now for pillar three, the bigger picture stuff. Organizational and network level defenses. These operate kind of above the individual user, right? Limit the damage if someone does click.
Exactly. This layer starts with email authentication protocols. things like SPF, DKIM, and it's a really important one, DMURC. These are technical standards that help verify that an email claiming to be from your domain actually is from your domain. It stops attackers from spoofing your address so easily, makes those clone phishing attacks much harder to pull off successfully if they look like they're internal.
We sometimes call that the email passport check. But what exactly does DMARC do that's different from SPF or DKIM? Is it just reporting back?
DMARC adds the crucial policy layer on top. So SPF checks the sending server, DKIM verifies the message signature hasn't been tampered with. But DMARC tells the receiving email server what action to take if those SPF or DKIM checks fail. It gives instructions. Reject this email, or put it in quarantine, or maybe just monitor it for now. That enforcement policy is what really blocks the domain spoofing.
Ah, okay, so it's the enforcement part, not just checking, but acting. Makes sense.
Precisely. Next up in organizational defense is proactive testing, phishing simulation training. And this shouldn't be just a once-a-year check-the-box exercise. Running regular simulated attacks keeps awareness high, it tests readiness under realistic conditions, and importantly, it helps identify maybe specific departments or individuals who need a bit more coaching.
Right, find the gaps before the real attackers do. Okay, and lastly, infrastructure. You mentioned network segmentation earlier. Why is that suddenly so vital?
Well, it's always been important, but it's critical now because the attacker's goal after a successful phish is often lateral movement. They get credentials, they get a foothold, and then they want to move across your network to find the valuable stuff, financial systems, databases, etc. Network segmentation puts walls between different parts of your network. So if one user's laptop gets compromised, the attacker can't just easily jump over to the critical servers. It contains the blast radius. And you pair that with monitoring tools, things like endpoint detection and response, EDR, and crucially, anti-data exfiltration, or ADX tools. ADX is specifically looking for signs that sensitive data is trying to leave your network, which is often the ultimate goal of a phishing attack that leads to data theft. It tries to spot and block that exfiltration.
Okay, those three pillars, personal, hygiene, and organizational, really cover a lot of ground that feels like a comprehensive defense strategy. But let's quickly touch on the purely technical defenses, the ones trying to stop malicious messages before a person even sees them. The first line.
Yeah, these are vital for just reducing the sheer volume of junk and danger hitting inboxes every day. Key tools here include secure email gateways, SEGs. These sit at your email perimeter, scanning everything coming in and going out. They look for malware, malicious links, signs of spoofing, and they quarantine the bad stuff.
And what if a really clever link gets past the gateway? Say, it's a new attack the gateway hasn't seen yet.
That's where DNS filtering comes in handy. If the user does click that link, DNS filtering can block the connection at the network level. It prevents their browser from even resolving the address of the known malicious website, so the click leads nowhere dangerous. And for attachments, there's attachment sandboxing. This tech automatically opens attachments in a safe, isolated virtual space first. It watches what the file tries to do. Does it try to install something, connect somewhere weird, before deciding if it's safe to deliver to the user?
Right, multiple layers of automated blocking that definitely reduces the chance of human error. But going back to the $100 million MGM example, even with great defenses, sometimes things get through. The line breaks. What absolutely needs to happen the moment an employee realizes they've clicked something bad or given up their credentials?
Speed is everything here. Rapid detection, rapid response. It's critical. Every single employee needs to know exactly what the process is. Report it immediately. Report it to IT. Report it to the security team, whoever your designated point of contact is. That instant alert can be the difference between a small, contained issue and a full-blown catastrophe.
Don't be embarrassed. Just report it fast.
Oh.
Matt, and once that flag goes up, what are the immediate mandatory steps for the security team?
Action has to be swift. First, isolate. Get the affected user account or their machine off the network immediately to stop any potential spread or further damage. Second, reset. Change any passwords that might have been compromised. Enforce MFA right away if it wasn't already mandatory for that account. Third, scan. Thoroughly scan the user system, maybe related systems, for any malware or persistence mechanisms the attacker might have installed. And fourth, review. Dig into the logs, network traffic, access records. Understand exactly what happened, what data was touched, what did the attacker do next. You need to know the full scope.
Okay, that really brings us full circle. Phishing isn't vanishing. If anything, it's getting smarter, faster, more targeted, especially with AI. And it's hitting us through more channels than just email. So long-term security needs that layered approach we talked about. where users, backed by constant training and realistic simulations, strong technical filters and blocks, and robust network defenses like segmentation and ADX.
And the key takeaway here, really, is that resilience requires continuous adaptation. It's not a one-and-done thing. Cybercriminals are always innovating, always changing tactics. So organizations have to constantly update defenses, review policies, monitor actively. Vigilance isn't just about spotting today's threats. It's about anticipating where the attacks will come from tomorrow.
So wrapping up, what does this all really mean for your security posture right now? Well, first, relying on spotting spelling errors, that's done, obsolete strategy. But maybe more critically, think about this. If the threat is increasingly moving away from the inbox to phishing phone calls to smishing texts, how quickly can your organization adapt? How fast can you integrate strong verification, maybe even MFA-like checks, into those non-email communication channels? Because that, not just the email filter, is arguably the new front line for resilience. And that's definitely something worth mulling over this week.